So all of heaven is watching the earth all the time, looking for a man or a woman that's going to use the Word of God, that's going to speak the Word of God, that's going to move on the Word of God. And when they do, heaven moves.
Everyone, God bless you today and welcome to Terry Vise Ministries program. We are just delighted you have joined us, and we've got some wonderful things to talk about in the program today. And darling, you talk to us about it. Give us another 60 seconds here and tell us what's happening.
Yeah, well, you know, a few weeks ago, I taught a message that in a great church in Georgetown, Texas, Church on the Rock, with Pastor Dennis Hadabaugh. And so we're going to be showing that in segments the next few weeks. And during that message, I went back and explained something that happened 50 years ago that I've always made reference to in 50 years, but I've never really explained it. And the Lord really instructed me last year to go back into those things and explain it. Talked about my hitchhiker story. Y'all know the story where I picked up a hitchhiker in Mexico. He shot at me five times. The bullets didn't hit me. And then whenever Jackie and I were about to get married, my first wife, she was in tears, told me she couldn't have babies. I said, sure you can. And I used the same method of instruction in scripture. And we had four kids. And then I talk about the drought in Zimbabwe. There was a horrible, life-taking, deadly drought. And God used me to make it rain, using the same technique, the same methods, same categories of word. And then again, the little baby I raised from the dead after 12 hours, held her up for 12 hours in Guatemala. And then all the other miracles that I've told you over the years really comes from what I've referred to as the five smooth stones. Referencing back to 1 Samuel 17 with David going out against Goliath, and he stopped by the brook, picked up five smooth stones. And those stones have been talked about probably by lots of preachers for thousands of sermons, I guess. And I've never heard anybody say it this way. I've heard people say, well, you know, David knew Goliath had four brothers he was going to have to kill. And I heard somebody say one time the five smooth stones were the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. I knew that wasn't right because you can't throw an apostle at a giant. And so I asked the Lord years ago, I said, is there a significance to those five smooth stones? And what came in my spirit was, it's the name, the blood, the word, the covenant, and the power of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to be breaking that down. You'll see it in probably segment two, maybe segment three. But just keep in mind, these are how I won. Every crisis I've gone into, every situation I've gone into, the way I won was to use these five smooth stones over and over again. And I've had the people said, how do you do that? I said, I just did it again and again and again until I won.
On our wedding day, we was going to get married and go to Mexico as missionaries. And so on my wedding day, I got drafted. So being the wise man that I was, Jackie and I had gotten married, gone to the church, then the reception, then we were going out of town on our honeymoon, and I thought, I'll just run by and check the mail. And I ran by and checked the mail, and there's this letter from Selective Service System, and I stuck it back in there. And being the wise man that I am, I didn't tell her. That's kind of a downer for your honeymoon, you know. So when we got back from our honeymoon, I said, oh, look, I'm drafted. And but anyway, so we did the U.S. Army for a couple of years and had a baby while we were in the Army. And then as soon as we got out of the Army, moved to Oaxaca, Mexico. And Oaxaca is not the end of the world, but it's certainly visible from there. And now, if you go to Oaxaca today, it's a nice place. And I mean, there's Whataburgers there. There's Walmarts there. But when we moved there, there were no grocery stores. I mean, there were little shops, little tiendas, but there's no refrigeration in the whole town. No refrigeration. No grocery store had no store had refrigeration. So we couldn't buy milk. We'd get milk out of a cow or a goat. You couldn't buy milk. because I eat dairy products. And there's a butcher in town. It's where we got our meat. And when he killed something and had fresh meat, he flew a red flag. So everybody in town knew he had meat. So when he flew the red flag, we'd go down there to get meat. And of course, it's just, you've been to third world markets, I'm sure, at least on vacations or something. And the meat's just hanging up in strips. The reason they'd cut it in strips and hang it up is because there's no refrigeration. So they have to let it cure, or you have to salt it or smoke it. And of course, it's just covered with flies. And so Jackie and I'd go to the meat market and we'd buy fly-covered meat. More protein. And then we'd take it home with us and we'd baptize it in Clorox bleach. Clorox bleach was invented to help missionaries. I still carry a little bottle of Clorox when I travel the world. And airlines don't appreciate it when they know it's Clorox, so I put it in some other kind of bottle. In fact, I took Renee, right after we got married, I took her to Canada on a fly-in fishing trip, and we flew in on a float plane and landed on a lake, and they went off and left us for a week, you know. So I'd taken a few gallons of water, you know, but we ran out, of course. And she said, "What are we going to do for water?" I said, "No sweat. I got my Clorox." So I went down the lake and dipped my bottles and gallon jugs into the lake and came back. You put 5 drops of Clorox. Y'all remember this if you're going camping. 5 drops of Clorox into a gallon of water, shake it up, let it sit out there for 20 minutes or so. Now it tastes like swimming pool water, but you won't get bugs. No amoebas. I've drank a lot of Clorox in my day. So we'd baptize the meat in Clorox. We'd baptize the vegetables in Clorox. And when we put him in the bathtub, we put Clorox in the bathwater, because that babies do what? When they grab that washcloth, put it right in their mouth. So little Clorox in the bathwater. So he smelled like a swimming pool. But that was my beginning in thought, because God said, "You're a missionary," and I'm a West Texan boy, and thought there was no country but Mexico. I just thought I'd live there forever. So we started a church there, having miracles, blind eyes open, deaf ears unstopped, cripples walk. I mean, just miracle, Holy Ghost miracles all the time, constantly. And one day after a couple of years, you know, the Lord spoke to me. I was just driving to my office. I had a nice office. I was driving to my office, and the Lord said, "I never told you to move to Mexico." I said, "What? Since I was 13 and you told me I was a missionary," he said, "I told you you was a missionary. I didn't tell you to move to Mexico." I said, "I've lived for this. I have declared it thousands of times. I'm going to Mexico to be a missionary." And he said, "I didn't tell you to move to Mexico." And he said, "In fact, you're in disobedience. And I can't bless that anymore. Lord, I've moved my family to Mexico. We're having blind eyes open, deaf ears unstopped, cripples walk. We're getting people saved. We're living the dream, man. This is..." He's, "I can't bless that anymore." So I just turned around, didn't go to the office, turned around, went home. I told Jackie, and she's big pregnant. And with our second baby, the doctor said we could never have babies, so we had 4. And so I told her, I said, "God said he didn't tell me to move to Mexico. He told me I was a missionary. And he said he wanted me to go to other nations." In fact, when he told me that driving the car, I said, "I want you to go to many nations." I said, "I don't know any other nations." There's 2 nations in the whole world, Texas and Mexico. Amen. And I got both of them covered. And I said, "God said we're in disobedience, and he can't bless that anymore." And it scared her. She said, "What does that mean? God's going to get us?" I said, "No, God's not going to get us, but the devil is, and God can't stop it." Because he didn't say, "I won't bless it anymore." He said, "I can't bless it anymore. The grace has run out on my disobedience that I didn't even know I was in." She said, "What are we going to do?" I said, "We're going to move." I said, "As soon as you have this baby, we're going to move." And I said, let's get down and repent. That's what you do when you're in sin. You repent.
Yeah.
And so we got on our knees at the bed and said, Father, we repent. We were not in right standing with you, and now we are. You said, if we confess our sins, that Jesus, that God, that you are faithful and just to forgive our sins.
Yeah.
And cleanse us from A-double-L, all righteous, unrighteousness. Yeah. So now we're righteous. Now we're not in wrong standing, we're in right standing.
Amen.
Now we're not in sin, we're not in disobedience, we're in obedience. And now you can bless us. And I said, you know me and you know my word's good. And so my word to you is that as soon as she has this baby, and she's able to travel, the baby's able to travel, we're gone. I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know how to go to other nations, but we're headed. We're going back home and travel to many nations. And so we were good. And we did just exactly that. And when that baby was born, 10 days after the baby was born, he was born October the 6th, 1974. Well, right after he was born, I took off for the States because I needed to make one more trip because someone had given us an organ in the PA system for our ministry there in Mexico. And so I thought, well, I've got to get that in the country before I leave. And so I told Jackie, I said, your mom's here to help you with the baby, so I'm going to run up to the States and pick up this organ and PA system in Houston someone's bought for us and bring it back. So I'm going to run up there, grab it, come back. So I did. And so 10 days later, October the 16th, it was a Wednesday, I was driving from, I was in Zacatecas. I had driven to Zacatecas, spent the night in Zacatecas. Back then it was a sleepy little town. Now it's a big, beautiful city. I spent the night there because I got in at midnight. And there's a whole bunch of mountainous curves between there and Guadalajara. And I thought, I'd probably better spend the night. And so I spent the night there, got up early the next morning, and ran down to the Pemex station and gassed up, left me with $2 because I'd spent all my money in Texas buying stuff for the baby and Jackie and our son. And left the station, grabbed a tape by Kenneth Copeland, stuck it in the, y'all know what a tape is?
Yes, sir.
stuck it in the tape player, and he started preaching. Kenneth started preaching on the integrity of the Word of God. And I thought, I'll just listen to this while I'm driving. And so I got to the edge of town and turned onto the highway to go to Guadalajara, and there was a Mexican man standing by the side of the road hitchhiking. Y'all have heard me tell this story. And I thought, I better pick this guy up and get him saved. That's what I'm down here for, and so I'll get him saved. So I pulled over, and he got in the car, and we took off. And I've got the car full of the equipment, you know. I went to 5 border crossings trying to get into Mexico with that stuff because it's illegal to do it. And so the first one tore my car up, tore everything out, looked and said, you can't go. You can't take this stuff to Mexico. So I put all my stuff back, and I just went down the next border crossing. Never entered my mind to, well, quit.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Duh, I can't take this to Mexico, Lord. No, that's not going to happen. So I turned left and went south to the next border crossing, and they did the same thing. And so I put it all back together. I mean, they even pulled the panels off my doors, you know. And I went to the third one. And so they did the same thing. And so I went to the fourth one. Put it all back together again, went to the fourth one. They did the same thing. So I'm driving south. I'm in the Rio Grande Valley now. And the next stop is Brownsville and then the ocean. There is no more border crossings. And so I got to Brownsville. I said, now, Lord, this is the last one before I get in the ocean. And so I got to get this stuff into the country. So I need you to do something here. And so when I pulled in there, this guy, this border patrol, this aduana guy, comes out grinning like a possum. And he said, well, you finally arrived. Because they had called him and told him, this gringo, this gringo's working his way down the border. With contraband, with equipment, and he can't bring in the country. And he just laughed and said, I've been expecting you, been waiting on you. And when he did that, I just opened my door and got out and stuck my finger in his face. I said, "You're exactly right." I said, "And furthermore, I'm a missionary and I live in your country, which is also illegal." And I said, if you don't quit hassling the missionaries, God's going to pull the missionaries out of this country. The fire of God, the judgment of God's going to fall on it, and you're all going to be dead. And he said, "Well, okay, come on in." So I did. And it was late when I got to Sacateca, so I spent the night. So I had all this equipment. And I picked this guy up and took off. And before you hit the mountainous curves, there's a good long straightaway. So, man, I was hammering down. I was doing about 80, 85 miles an hour, something like that. And Kenneth's preaching. And I just let him preach, you know. And so I'm not paying this attention to this guy. I'm thinking what I need to say in Spanish to get him saved, get my Spanish act together here. And so I got what I wanted, and so I turned to him to say it, and he reaches in his coat and pulls out a pistol, cocks the hammer, reaches over and hits me hard, jams it in my ribs hard, and grabbed my collar like that. So I'm driving, and he's got me like this, and got me like this. And he screamed to me, "I'm going to kill you." Only in Spanish. "Te voy a matar." And it made me mad. And so I said to him, "I'm a man of God and I've got authority over you in the name of Jesus. You can't kill me." Well, that made him mad. And so he yanked on my collar and poked me at that gun and said, "I said I'm going to kill you." And I said, "I'm a man of God and I've got authority over you in the name of Jesus, then you can't kill me." Ken's still preaching. I just let him preach. I figured it's a good time to hear the integrity of the Word of God. And so this went on for quite some time. Him screaming at me, "I'm going to kill you." Me telling him, "Yeah, no, you can't kill me. I've got authority over you in the name of Jesus." And so after a little while, he said, "What's the matter with you? Aren't you scared? ¿No tienes miedo?" And I said, "Well, no. See, they want you to be scared. The devil's only weapon is fear." "What's wrong with you? What's the matter with you? Aren't you scared?" I said, "Well, no, I'm not scared." I said, "Why should I be scared? All you've got's a loaded gun. I've got the name of Jesus. I win." Come on. That didn't make any sense to him whatsoever. See, he had just escaped from prison, got a gun, escaped from prison, and, you know, thought he was in control. The world symbol of authority and power, a gun. But he didn't reckon with the Word of God. So I said all that to say this. I've told this story many, many times. That happened October the 16th, 1974. This October will be 50 years. And I just kind of blow through it. I've told it short. I've told it long. You know, people get me on a 15-minute radio program. I can tell the whole thing, you know, about 13 minutes or so. But I can take a two-hour church service and tell it. I mean, you know, it doesn't matter. I've told it in Bible schools where I told, you know, some of it each day for 5 days. Because you know how all testimonies are. You can tell them short or long. There's more detailed or less detailed. You know, you just hit the bottom line and say, "And that night I slept in my own bed with my wife and kids and everything was great." End of the story, I won. Yeah. I'm not dead. Yeah. Right? So over these almost 50 years now, I've had people ask me how many times, countless times, in country after country after country, they'll come up to me and they'll say, or they get to know me a little better, and they'll come up to me and say, "Brother Terry, tell us how you did that. How could you do that? You were 24 years old. You're in a foreign country. A convict has a gun in your ribs. He shot at you 5 times and the bullets didn't hit you. How'd you do that?" And I just always gloss over it and blow over it. And I think I've done it here in your pulpit and said, I just use the name and the blood and the word and the covenant and the power of the Holy Spirit. And then I did it again. 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 And I did it till I won. But I never elaborated on it. I mean, for 50 years, I've never elaborated on it. I just said, I use the name and the blood and the word and the covenant and the power of the Holy Spirit. And then I did it again. Then I did it again. See, that's the key. You did it again.
Yeah.
Come on. And back in those early days in the 70s, and so Brother Copeland would always tell us, this is not a nine-inning ball game. You play, you win.
Come on.
So I was thinking that this whole time. This is not a nine-inning ball game.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm going to play this out till I win.
Yeah.
I'm not quitting until I win. I'm not stopping until I win. And he's not going to win.
Come on. Yeah. Amen. Go ahead.
Amen.
Amen.
Then I've told you the story about how when I met Jackie, Jackie and I were married 44 years, and she went to heaven. I'm still mad at her. And Renee and Dean were great friends of ours. They pastored a great church in Corpus Christi, but we knew them before they pastored because we met them like 2 weeks after that, no, a month after that hitchhiker thing happened. Jackie and I, when we met, when we were engaged and about to get married, and she came to me and just in tears, just sobbing and crying. And I told you this last time I was here. And she's boohooing and sobbing and crying. And she said, "Terry, I just can't marry you without telling you something. There's two things about me you don't know. And both of them would cause you not to want to marry me. And I just can't marry you under false pretense." And she's just sobbing, almost hysterical. And I said, "Well, what is it?" I thought maybe she's a bank robber. And she said, "Well, number one, I can't have children, and I know you want children. I know you love children. I see you with kids, and you talk about a family and all that, and it breaks my heart every time you do because I can't give you kids. And so I can't be the doctors told me when I was just a little girl I couldn't be a mommy. If I can't be a mommy, you can't be a daddy." And she said, "And number two, I'll be an invalid in a wheelchair by the time I'm 30 years old, so you're going to be a missionary and travel all over the world, tell people about Jesus." And she said, you're going to have an invalid wife you're going to have to be caregiver for. And she just sobbing, and she said, "So, you know, I just need to tell you because you may just want to call this whole thing off." And it just made me so angry, so mad. And I said, "Jackie, who told you that? Who said that?" And so she said, "Well, the doctors and everybody, you know," she said, "everybody knows it but you, my pastors, my church people, my family." And I said, I literally did like this. I went, "Phew, thank God." She said, "What?" I said, "Phew, thank God." She said, "Thank God for what?" I said, "Thank God. I thought somebody with authority had told you that you couldn't have children and then you'd be an invalid in a wheelchair." She said, "What are you talking about?" And I said, "Well, you know, I love doctors and nurses and hospitals and medicine. Thank God for them. Praise God. I have no problem with that." I said, "But I respect them, I honor them, I appreciate them, but they're not going to tell me something contrary to what God said." I said, "I love you, pastor, I love you, church people, I love you, parents, I love you, grandparents, but they're not going to tell me something contrary. Nobody's going to tell me my wife's going to be an invalid in a wheelchair. Nobody's going to tell me I can't have kids." And I said, "I got good news for you, girl. God said you can have kids." And she said, "What? He did?" And I rattle off a bunch of scriptures for her. Now, I did the hitchhiker brief. I'm doing this brief because I've already told them to you, and I want to get to a point, though. Those aren't my points, all right? I'm just telling you there's some great miracles that happen, supernatural things that happen, not just sort of kind of God healed a headache, but, I mean, these are major, major, major miracles. Brother Osteen told me about my hitchhiker story. He said, "You don't like to tell your hitchhiker story, do you?" I said, "Well, no, sir." He said, "You feel like it happened so long ago, and God's done so many more things for you since then, that you just want to tell new stuff." I said, "That's exactly how I feel." I said, "I always tell Jackie that if it's over 2 weeks old, let's don't tell it. You know, let's just get another miracle." And he said, "Well, you're missing God." He said, "That's one of the greatest stories, one of the greatest testimonies, greatest examples of the power, supernatural power of God, and Christians need to hear that. It will change their lives. It will help them. They need to hear. You must. Everywhere you go, you must tell it." He said, "You know my sermon, The Fourth Man?" I said, "Well, yeah, who doesn't?" And he said, "Well, that's not my favorite." He said, "But it's everybody else's favorite." And he said, "Yeah, I have to do it everywhere I go or I'm in disobedience." So anyway, the story is a tremendous testimony to the power of God. But I've always just kind of blown through it. And then the Jackie having babies, I kind of blown through it. And then all the different miracles we've had, I mean, hundreds and thousands of supernatural miracle. I mean, when I tell testimonies, they're like the things God's done. It's not me, it's God. The things God's put us into and we've gotten out of are just supernatural, beyond boggles the imagination, you know, better than anything Hollywood can think of.
Yes, sir.
And so here a while back, recently, the Lord started dealing with me. He said, "You have always glossed over that. And you just said, well, God did it." Renee used to have a TV program. She had a radio program for 15 years. She had a television program for, what, five? And so I'd blow in there and preach for them. She and Dean supported us in missions, and we were great friends. And so they'd have me in a couple of times a year, sometimes more than that. And she asked me one day, she said, I want you to let me interview you on television. I said, okay. And so she and I were sitting on the set, and she's interviewing me, you know, and she's good at it. I mean, she's, I almost don't let her get up before I preach because, you know, you saw what she just did. I mean, I have to follow that, you know. And so, but she's sitting there, and she's asking me, now, Brother Terry, you just came back from Africa, or you just came back from India, and you had a great crusade. Mm-hmm. Well, tell us what the Lord did. I said, well, it was good. But the Lord did miracles? I said, oh, yeah. Well, did you had blind eyes open? Oh, yeah, we had blind eyes open. You had deaf ears? I mean, she's on television trying to. But I just never made a big deal out of any of that stuff. I just, you know, I know preachers, they'll get up and they'll just take a healing of a headache and they'll do the whole sermon on it. And I'll get up and say, well, we just had this crusade and we had 100,000 people and blind eyes open, deaf ears unstopped, cripples walking, cancers fell off, devils are cast out. It was really good. And I've always been that way. I mean, I just feel like God did this cool stuff. God helped people. But I've just never elaborated on it. And so when we'd go off air, she'd say, you are the most boring. Because we were great friends. And I just sat at dinner with her and Dean. Jackie and I had just been to dinner with him. And I told her these marvelous miracles in detail. And then she'd get me on television. I said, mm-hmm. And she said, you are the worst interview I've ever had in my life. You are the blah preacher. You are the most boring preacher on television. She said, you're great in the pulpit. You're great when we go out to dinner and you tell us all these stories. And I tried to get you to tell them to help people. And you just say, mm-hmm. So, you know, I guess God feels the same way. He said, you know, you've just kind of glossed over that. So I want you to tell. So he dealt with me here a while back to tell some of these things in more detail.
Well, that was a wonderful time that we had back then, hearing all the stories Terry and Jackie would tell us of where they had been and what they were doing. And yet you were just sort of blah, as you said.
You call me the blah preacher.
Well, the coming from blasé, he was just saying, yeah, it was all great. God did good. You know, we had lots of miracles. But, you know, the precepts that are in the learning of those five categories that are so powerful for us are like five smooth stones that give us all that God's trying to help us learn from, Terry. They're the weapons of our warfare.
Oh, absolutely.
They are the weapons of our warfare. And so we want to just remind you of that and keep that in front of you. And as Terry said, every time the battle that they fought, every time they went in to preach the gospel, it was do it again,
and
do it
still
again.
Still today, same till, thing.
Still today, we're going to do these same things. Well, in the meantime, we just want to tell you, we're so glad you joined us today. We love you and pray for you and want to remind you one more time, you are
more than conquerors.
Bye-bye.